Blog Talk Radio.
Are you looking to take your social technology strategies to the next level? Then do we have a show for you. Social Geek Radio co-hosts AK Stout and Deb Evans chat weekly with innovative technology folks who share their experiences, tips, and tricks to help you take your business to the next level. Social Geek Radio is brought to you by Saying It Social and Deb Evans Consulting, LLC. To learn more about their unique services, including but not limited to speaking, consulting, and training, visit AK Stout and DebEvansConsulting.com.
Hi there, it's Deb Evans here from Houston, and we've got AK Stout on the line and BJ Emerson, and I'm sorry, but I think everybody missed the karaoke session. AK, you were awesome.
Oh, I was?
You were, and BJ, he really got geeked it on and had it going. So, sorry everybody in the chat that's asking about the singing, did you miss it? And yes, you did, so we might have to air it again here in a little bit. But, okay, you've got to explain what's going on with your new venture of this Two Geeky Girls. I have too many people asking me, it's like, you're just going to have to share it with us.
Okay, so Sarah, who is working with me now, who is our loyal listener, Little Bird, in the chat and on Twitter. We've been, for a couple, three or four months now, Sarah actually came up with the idea that we should do a blog, separate from the social media blog I have on my Saying It Social website, where we just, kind of do product reviews and app reviews and kind of just talk, like we do crazy diets and crazy workout things and, reviewing and talking about anything from like health and fitness type things to gadgets and all things geek. And so we decided that it would be called Two Geeky Girls, and it's the number two. And we took a WordPress class 2 or 3 weeks ago. So I finally got the motivation to get the blog up and running because it was all fresh in my mind. And it's sort of just taken off from there. It was officially launched last Monday. And we have our Facebook page and our Twitter account, and we're on Instagram and Pinterest and just spreading the word. And one of the things that we're doing to sort of build some buzz and kind of get a following right from the get-go is starting next Monday, we're having a huge kind of blog launch celebration giveaway. So we have a ton of things that we're giving away. We have a fit desk. We have a body media armband. Let's say we're our Biggest Loser. We have a travel vest from the company Scotty Vest from Dana's going to give us a gel tablet and phone skin from his company. This outfit, we have some watches, a whole bunch of other things. So it's well up over $1,000. And we're going to have multiple winners, multiple ways to enter. So that's going to go live on our blog on twogeekygirls.com next Monday. So we're very excited. And just from being up for, 10 days or so now, we've had a whole bunch of companies reach out to us to review things and want to send us stuff. And so it's been really, really exciting.
That is exciting. That is quite a new business and a new venture. So I'm hoping that everybody is eligible because I would be watching and want to participate. There's lots of cool things that I'd like to win. And, I've been watching your products and you demonstrating them. Like you showed on Facebook today a watch. Is that one of the...
Yeah, we have. There's a company called Sprout Watches. And I won a Sprout watch from that nonprofit Gift of Life. Remember, we had Ashley on the show last year. I found out about Sprout watches from their giveaway, and I love that watch. And so I just reached out to them, and they actually sent us a couple of watches for Sarah and I to keep and review, and then a guy's watch and a girl's watch for the giveaway.
Wow. Very good. Well, that's going to be fun. So it's Two Geeky Girls.
Two Geeky Girls.
TwoGeekyGirls.com. So... Very good.
Yeah.
All right.
I want to share about Charity Miles and South by Southwest.
Well, so, yes, and you were so missed. And for one of the first things Jean said is like, well, did AK come? And it's like, no, she couldn't come. So South by Southwest, as much as I really, really wanted to attend all the sessions and be able to go, I just went to IFA, so it just wasn't in my plans. But I made sure I drove up to Austin last night for the Interactive Awards to support Jean. Jean Gerkoff was there, along with Tara Fuller, who is his social community manager. The app developers, Mimo and Albert, were there. Who else was there? And Louis, one of the partners of Gene. So we knew that he was nominated for the Activism Award. I will tell you that there we are. We're all sitting there at a table, and the award came up and was the first one. So it's like they just jumped right into everything, and he did not win. So it was disappointing. So we were sitting there, we were watching all the awards, and that was fun. It was, you know, great, but we're all a little sad, and, you know, the Charity Miles didn't win. But at the very end, we all forgot about the People's Choice Award, which was given at the very, very end. That was like the highest honor award that they saved it for the end. And we're like kind of in down mode and ready to leave, and Charity Miles wins. And it's like, it was so exciting. I think if anything, that was probably the best award they could have won. So they won that. We got to take lots of pictures and have lots of fun and celebrate. And I did a quick video of him standing in front of the big display board. And he's off to, so the whole Charity Miles team is to Atlanta. They're at another conference and they'll go back to New York until the 19th. So very excited for them. And they have now they have 20 charities since we started with them, you know, what, months ago, and they only had 9. So it's pretty busy. So we've lost AK. She'll come back. BJ, thanks for holding on and we're giving our updates. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. So, your line is breaking up a little bit, and so I hope you can hear me okay.
Well, you know, now that you're talking, it's very clear because everything was real staticky for a while there, but it's not all right. Man, it must be AK's line because AK is now back with us.
Yeah, you are breaking up a little bit to me, Deb.
Okay.
And well, apparently doesn't like me either because I just got kicked off.
Okay. Well, why don't we just get into it does say that it's BJ's clear, Deb is breaking up. All right, so BJ, I'm gonna let you go ahead and talk, and AK, you talk with BJ, and let's get the show rolling.
All right, sounds good. Hi BJ, how are you?
AK, how are you?
I'm doing good. So I'm dying to hear everything that you've been up to. I haven't gotten to talk to you since Resident started up. So please tell us all about that and how it's going.
Right. So, yeah, very exciting last few months here. So, as you know, I've launched my digital agency, which I've been really looking at doing for the last couple of years. And the timing just has worked out. So, kind of first of the year, we kicked that off. And just working with some new clients as well as some past relationships, if you will, and really focusing here locally where I am and have lived now for 5 years here in Greenville, Eastern North Carolina. And so really excited about, working with local businesses as I've, been working remotely, traveling extensively for 5 years. And now really looking to get local, if you will. And so, I think the timing is great and lots of opportunity to help businesses get online and connect with their customers. So my whole mantra really lately has been, smart marketers are cutting through the noise by starting conversations that matter to their customers, and we're helping them do that. So my title is CEO and head story hunter. So that's what we do. We find the great stories in these businesses and then help them tell their stories online, connect with customers, and start those conversations that are hopefully going to lead to relationships down the road. So, and one of those things, you know, we're doing things like video, we're doing some, you know, brand journalism, lots of blogging, you know, really just creating content. So you get into the whole topic of content marketing, doing also infographics now. I did want to share one that we can kind of talk around, if that makes sense. And I'll post a link in the chat room here to one that we created recently. And find the chat room here. And I'm going to paste the link here so you can kind of check that out. And so what I thought we'd do is, as I'm kind of learning these things, and I've kind of documented some of this here in a blog post that I'll be posting here in the near future, you know, 5 steps for creating awesome infographics is the title. And so what I thought we'd do is just kind of take a walk through and, you know, we need to answer the question, you know, why, you know, why infographics? I think, first of all, I think would be a good topic to start, if that makes sense to you guys.
It does. I'm going to tweet the link, too, so anybody that's listening online can see it. So I've sent it out via Twitter.
Great. Now, are you guys, have you guys done much with infographics to this point?
I have read a ton of them. That's as far as it goes.
She's pinned them as well.
Yes, I have pinned them on my infographic board that's exploding.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so, you know, I've been kind of doing, well, you know, web design, kind of web graphics for probably a dozen years or so. And, you know, I'm a real visual person, love to tell stories using visuals. If you've watched any of my, you know, presentations, you know, we'll always lots of pictures and stories. So these kind of fit in real well with that kind of mindset. And so, of course, everyone is sharing these things. Everyone's pinning them. And so I like to call them, you know, one part brain candy, one part eye candy. And so, you know, one of the things that you have to watch out for, though, is if you want to, you know, promote these on Facebook in any kind of paid fashion, whether it's sponsored or promoted or, you know, paid targeted ads, you really want to be careful because you really need less than 20% text in your infographic, which is kind of difficult to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
it does. So let's go back to the basic one. This particular infographic here, you personally designed?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah, and I have another one as well. I don't think I have it hosted anywhere that I could send it in a link. But, yeah, so let's talk about, like, the first step, okay? And you really want to be careful to get the first step right, because if you don't, you're going to end up having to do the whole thing over again. And I kind of know that from experience. So you really want to know, you know, first what it is that you're trying to communicate, what's your concept, you know, and really what's the purpose of your infographic, what story are you trying to tell, and then what are the elements of that, you know, that story. And so, you know, within these graphics, are you kind of unfolding, you know, this information in some kind of timeline? And really, what is the purpose of your infographic? So this one that we're talking about here is for a client of mine. You can see the link at the bottom there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal coaching company called One Smart Life out of Raleigh, North Carolina. And so they wanted to promote a webinar that they were doing where people could call in and they do a teleseminar, is what they call it, talking about managing and dealing with stress. Okay? And so, you know, we're promoting a free seminar. So the topic was stress. And so how do we create something that might draw some interest into that topic, and how could we create something that people might, you know, is it shareable, right? And so if you look at the bottom of the infographic, it has, you know, causes of stress, right? And so, you know, we asked the question on Facebook, you know, which of these, you know, can you identify with, right? And so people mm-hmm. will you know, people will comment on those things. So really, again, the first thing is, you know, thinking about the elements of your idea, and then, you know, what physical objects are involved that can be used within the image. So, of course, you're going to want to be doing, you know, some research, which will help as well. But in this particular case, you know, where we had little known stress facts, you know, we kind of put it in three different categories, but then we had a thing at the bottom with the causes of stress. So, like, on the job, I thought, well, we need a picture of a guy who looks like a worker, you know, somebody on the job. So, you know, where do you find a graphic like that? And this kind of gets into the topic of, you know, all these different infographic generators and creation tools that you can use online. But so I started looking into those, and you know, many of those are kind of limited because they don't really have the specific graphics that you might need for your particular concept. And so in my example here, in the third category, in school, where stress is a top health concern for U.S. teens, 9th through 12th grade, you have a picture of a student there. Well, that's probably not a stock image that you're going to find in one of these, you know, either free services or even in a paid service. You know, they're going to have, you know, something really specific as it relates to your concept. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was I created a list of the types of items that I, you know, I would need in my, you know, for my topic, and then you know, then ask the question, you know, okay, so for this, what kind of things can we measure as it relates to my concept, and then what questions do people, you know, usually ask about this subject? You know, what's the story? What's the storyline that I want to create? And then, you know, lastly, how can I evoke some emotion, or how can I communicate, you know, some emotion in using, you know, this kind of imagery, right? So you know, those are the kind of questions I ask myself and start making a list of, you know, the kind of images I would need. And then I would, you know, do some research. And here is where, and you guys know I love Elance. You know, let's say I have someone, I could go on Elance and I could hire a researcher. In this case, one of my cases, I hired someone else. But, you know, to go out and find, you know, the data points that I'm looking for, which I can put in my infographic. And you might already have those. Maybe you produced a white paper or something within your concept, in your business. You already have some data points or, you know, percentages, that sort of thing. So, you know, doing our research is kind of the next step. So we thought about our theme. That was kind of step one. We want to make sure we have the right objectives for, you know, our infographic. Number two is kind of do our research. Let's find a bunch of data points that will kind of support that, if we don't have them already. And then when you're doing that research, you're going to come across some objects or some ideas for objects in your infographic that you might not have thought of, okay? And so, you know, as you come up with those, you may add to that list of, you know, like in my case, I had the image of the guy with the tie and then the student all stressed out at his desk there. So you're going to add those to your list. So that was stress number two. Step number two is doing your research. So any questions? Can you guys?
No, I was just going to think out loud here for a minute. So the steps that you're outlining could be followed or could be similar steps that you would use when you're trying to write a blog post. So what you're trying to do is tell your story. Correct me if I'm wrong, you're trying to tell your story instead of writing it in a blog, you're trying to tell the story in the infographic. So it has to be visual. You have to have all the graphics. And that's tough, to have more graphics and less words. That's got to be hard.
Yep. And so, you know, it's easy to find all the research because there's lots of, you know, there's lots of words. And how do you cut those down? to where you're just showing that in a picture or in a graph or in some kind of pie chart, that sort of thing. So, this one is maybe, 50-50, and probably 60-40. It's pretty heavy, I think, on the text side. It could have more, and some have more pictures than others. Some have a lot of text, probably too much. So this one is on borderline. As far as I'm concerned, I thought this one had, too much. I like to have them, have less and again, tell more of a story.
And this one, too, is a size, like you see some infographics are just, you just have to scroll and scroll and scroll till you get to the bottom. And I personally don't care for those because it's too much.
You know why they do that?
Well, no.
Because of people like A.K. Stout, because they pin them and pin it, it goes all the way down the screen.
Well,
that's true. And you get when you have a longer infographic.
But then you really, those aren't to me, and A.K., see if I'm wrong, the longer ones, okay, they're great for Pinterest, but if to copy it or embed the URL into a blog post, not so nice. Where I'm the one I'm looking at here with yours would look really nice in a blog post.
Right.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, pretty concise. It's only got really five data points. In the whole thing, but some have, many more. And of course, the more you have, if you had someone build this, it's going to be quite expensive. Once you get into, any beyond 8 or 10 data points, every data point you're creating graphics to support, your story that you're unfolding. So back to the next step here. So step three is really gathering your images that help support, again, your story. And so one of the sources could be, believe it or not, clip art, which, you think about Microsoft clip art back from the 90s, right? Yeah. And, when everyone was inserting, some people still do it, everyone's inserting this really ugly clip art from the gallery, right, in your Microsoft Word or whatever. Some of that might actually still be useful. So thankfully, it's still around. Some of it might still be useful. But the better source that I found was actually, if you have a source for, regular images for blog posts, like the one I use is 123rf.com. That's what it is. Yeah. And so I'll put that in the chat. It's the one. That's the one that I use, 123rf.com. And so what I look for is what are called icon sets, okay? And these are really just silhouette type of black and white, images, and that's really what you want. I've seen infographics, of course, with photos in them, but I'm looking for really two-color images that I can easily change the color in, in my graphics program, and something that doesn't have like a lot of shading or any kind of, thing like that. It's just, a solid black kind of silhouette icon set. So if you look on something like 123rf.com or whatever your stock photo gallery is that you use, you can just look up, icon, just put in your word that your subject, whatever you're looking for, and then just add the word icon, and you'll find all kinds of things in there. And so that's what I look for. I really don't look at clip art much. I use it once in a while. Of course, I do a Google image search for things just really to get ideas. But it's where I find most of my things is on my stock photo site, but I look for icon sets. And I might need to buy a bigger size image so that it's big enough for, what I'm using. But that's That's the best source that I found for mine. So step number one, I've looked at my concept, kind of developed my theme, figured out what the objective is of my infographic, the story I want to tell. Step two, I'm doing my research. I'm finding all the data points to support my story if I don't already have those. And then I'm also adding more objects based on the research that I find. I'm adding to my list the types of objects that I need, the kind of pictures that I need. And then number three, I'm gathering my clip art for my icon set. Now, I'm going to put another link in the chat here, and it is to colorcombos.com. Now, you want to pick your color theme in step three as well. So colorcombos.com is going to allow you to pick over on the right-hand side. If you go there, you're going to find, and the website's stuck.
No, so you broke it because I'm on it. Look at that, Dana. It must be because AK, Dana, and BJ, and Lori are all on the site, so it breaks.
Yep, and my computer is froze up.
Oh, you broke your computer too. So what I'm looking at, it says you sign up for free, but it's a grab website colors, and then it's got popular color tags. That's pretty cool, popular colors.
So click on one of the popular colors. Just click on one of those.
I'm going to click on red, okay? And what happens? Okay, so I've got a big color image.
Now scroll down,
yep.
And you'll see these color combos, and they'll give you a different palette. So this is where your color palette, and find one that you like, and then you can.
Number 13 looks like Social Geek Radio. Colors.
There you go.
Okay.
If you want, it will give you the hex code, color code, your graphics program.
Yes. Oh.
And that way you know, hey, these colors are complementary. You know, they're not going to be an eyesore. These are colors that will work. So colorcombos.com, good resource for establishing your color palette. Okay, so let's see. My next step, step four, I would say, is to actually, believe it or not, use a spreadsheet. And I know there's a couple of different ways to do this, but I like to use a spreadsheet, especially if you think you're going to need a designer to help you with all this, to kind of pull all this together, and that would be step five. But in step four, what you're going to do is create a spreadsheet, and in the first column, what you want to do is put in the data point, okay? So in my case, it would be back to my stress facts. On my first one, it would be 80% of workers feel stress on the job, okay? That's data point number one. And then in the second column associated with that, you know, put down kind of the idea how you want to visualize or how you want to communicate that information. All right, so, picture of a worker or some type of chart. And then you also want to put in that same spreadsheet on the same line for that data point, you want to put your reference. So wherever you got that data from, you want to make sure you have that reference as a link later. We ended up putting it in a post underneath the infographic here, but you can also put it, you know, within the infographic itself. I see people do that a lot of times. So I use a spreadsheet, so listing all the data points and then some ideas for how you can, communicate that visually, and then your sources as well, so links to all your sources where you found that data. And so that was number four. And that's the point where you're going to want to try to take those that information, those statistics or whatever, and shorten it to the least number of words as possible, right? Because it's, you know, you want to use, you know, the less words, the better. And so moving on to number five, okay? This is kind of where you're going to assemble all this stuff. And if you have the tools, you can do this yourself. And so you could take all this and then go to one of these free, you know, online tools or one that you have to pay for. Again, now they may allow you to import, you know, your own images if they don't have the image to kind of represent, you know, the piece of data that you're talking about or that you need. Of course, they're all going to have different charts and things like that. A lot of times I'll use Excel. And so if you look at the bottom of my infographic there on the causes of stress, what I did was I actually took that data, put it in Excel. Okay, I'm fairly proficient at Excel. And then I inserted a chart. Okay, I turned the chart black. And so it's black, it's on a white background. And then what I did was I kind of took got a screen grab of that, brought it into my graphics program, changed the color, and that way it was all lined up just where it needed to be. And then I added the numbers and the text on the left and the numbers on the right. So, you know, I use, you know, several different tools now in order to create this. Now, what I use is a little bit of an older program called Fireworks, which you can use, or one of the other ones that we've talked about on this show is at Pixlr, so pixlr.com, which is very similar to Fireworks, or at least the version that I use. So I'm going to throw that in the chat here, pixlr.com, which we've used, I think we've talked about that in the past. And that is one that I don't see why you couldn't use that. You take some practice, but there's no reason why you couldn't use that. You know, one of my thoughts was, and maybe if you want to do it in a future show, if you thought there'd be interest to create one of these on the fly during the show some kind of collaboration software where you guys could watch me create it as I talk through it. But I'm sure there's some YouTube videos out there that do that. And so there's lots of resources to figure out how to do these things. And from what I can tell online, if you want to have someone create one for you, you know, they start at about $500 mm-hmm. for an instance. So.
Have you ever tried any of the, there's all a blank on what they're called, but like the programs that are supposed to help you create infographics?
Yeah, I did look at those early on, and what I found was that, you know, while they had graphs and charts and so forth, they didn't have the specific images that I needed for my particular problem or my...
You can upload your own images?
Yeah, and so that's where... And I just ended up creating my own. I would do a Google image search for infographics, and I'll admit I take a lot of ideas from other people's work, just kind of looking, you know, that really helps trigger some things in my mind. Oh, I could show, you know, my information the same way that this person showed their information for their subject or whatever. So that's a really good way to do it, is to go and look at other infographics. Just do a Google image search for infographics. There's a ton of stuff out there, as you know, and just look at how other people have done things and get ideas from them. And then you end up tweaking it, for your own topic.
Cool.
Yeah. But so at this point, you know, if you were to find someone, and if you could use one of those tools, great, use them. If you need to engage a designer, it would be really nice for this designer if you were able to hand them, you know, the spreadsheet I'm talking about, a summary of your concept, you know, your objective, what you're trying to accomplish, any kind of drawings that you can provide to them, any kind of images or even links to these icon sets. You say, hey, I like this. You know, here's all my ideas. Give them a comprehensive document that will get them started to get them, you know, help them put this thing together. Because for every data point, they're coming up, you know, with these things on their own. But the more information that you can provide them, and you're providing them all the research, I think you'd have a really good working relationship there to get something, you know, done pretty quickly. So,
oops. I can't hear anybody. Can everybody hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yeah, we can hear you, Deb.
Hello?
Oh, now you're breaking up there. So, you know, some other tips here, perhaps. AK, can you hear me there?
Yep. Yeah, I can hear you. Everybody's back.
Okay.
Were you guys so, on? I wasn't on, or was it?
I don't know.
You're breaking up here.
Okay. Keep going.
So, you know, really in just kind of wrapping this up, just, you know, one of my, I mentioned, you know, if you have too much data, and this is when they tell you in writing, right, you want to, number one, connect emotionally, and number two, justify rationally, okay? And so when you write, that's, you know, and I read a lot of copy blogger. And so learning these things, how do you apply that to infographics? Well, this is information, right? I mean, it's data, right? It's rational justification. But I think if you have too many data points, you know, and you're just on rational justification overload, right? And you know, if we want to tell a story, we want to be sure to include emotional elements. Not easy to do. But here's the thing, and I've learned about storytelling. Okay, storytelling takes information from short-term memory and moves it into long-term memory. Okay, that's what you got to remember. And so, if you can tell a story using these graphics, whether it's through some kind of timeline, you know, that sort of thing, you're gonna make an impact with your messaging. So I thought it'd be interesting. Maybe the three of us can just do a little brainstorming here. On how we would go about creating an infographic, and I'm going to provide the subject, okay?
Okay.
So I've gone through all this, and Dana and Lori, maybe they can, if they can hear us.
I think they're in the other back.
If they can hear us. So here's the infographic, and somebody's already created one of these. But what if we did an infographic on the Harlem Shake, okay? And perhaps how could we tell the story? So let's just brainstorm for a minute. How do we tell the story in an infographic about the Harlem Shake? What would we put on there?
What would we put on there, Deb?
It's some silly fool. Some kind of little icon dude that's, you know, ready to dance.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yay.
I'm trying to ask them in the chat, trying to get the information from them, and they're going, so, BJ, what would you put on there? I mean, the Harlem Shake, though, how can you do that in an infographic?
Well, so, you know, what would
Dana
be the
objective? Dana said a stop sign.
Stop sign?
I don't know. That's what there is. That's what's in the chat.
I guess that's an idea. AK, you have any ideas there?
No.
Okay.
I'm right, Googling Harlem Shake at the moment, just so I know what you're talking about.
Wait a minute. Where have you been?
That was before I was born.
Oh, no. This is recent. Even the rodeo just had a good Harlem Shake. She didn't read my last blog post. it's, I understand. Go, so what would you put on there, BJ?
Hey, Dana, that is funny. Okay, so let me put to you this way, ask you this way, Dan. What kind of things could you measure associated with the Harlem Shake? Are you there? I should have sent these questions to you ahead of time.
This one is not working. Let's pick a different topic.
This is a great topic.
Okay. Well, you have to help us.
Okay, I'll help you.
We're not creative. We don't make infographics. We don't know how to make infographics.
Okay, so let's see. There's lots of – everyone is making a Harlem Shake video, right? So, like right now on YouTube, how many Harlem Shake videos are there right now in existence? What is the average length of a Harlem Shake video? So a couple different, date of the original video. See?
Yeah, I'm getting it. They were having trouble getting to the chat, so they started sending chat text messages. But yeah, the original date.
How about you kind of just focus on the backstory? What's the backstory of, the Harlem Shake? Where did it come from? How did it get started? Who started it? What's the most popular one? How many hits has it had? When did it peak? That sort of thing. And really just telling the story of the whole Harlem Shake, this viral, thing that's, city graphic, as Dana said, flash mob image. Good stuff.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, so then you think about, okay, well, what pictures do we need for this? People in crazy costumes, So how do we, again, tell the story? People would look at that infographic. I'm sure if we did a quick search, we would find a Harlem Shake infographic on the web and probably have some of the elements that we're talking about. So, and that would be kind of a fun one. I don't know what the purpose of that would be. I mean, are you pointing someone to... why would anyone care? I mean, people would share it probably, but what would your objective be? Do you want somebody to click on something? What are you offering? Why would you do that, I guess, other than just you're bored?
And you're right. There is one out there already. So you can blog, you can tweet about anything. You can actually make an infographic about it. I would have never thought that there would be an infographic out there about the Harlem Shake.
See, this is great. the greatest thing. How the Harlem Shake happened. You got me. You need a picture of New York.
This is one of those infographics, too, that just goes on and on and on and on. And it says, here, click here to embed this in your graphic. Now, BJ, do you have that embedded in the infographics that you make with the codes that we could embed it into our website?
You guys still there?
I'm here now. I you know what? Blog Talk Radio, I'm not happy. Hey, Kay, can you hear me?
I can hear you. I think you're
okay. Me. We may have lost BJ. Yeah, it doesn't look like he's there. We'll see if we can get him back. BJ, are you back with us?
I am unmuted. Yay.
Okay. I don't know what was wrong. We all went on mute again. So, let me ask the question again, and if you answered it, I apologize. Everybody else may have heard it, but I didn't. So in the infographics that you're making, does it come with code so that, and I have to go back to the one you shared with us earlier, so that we can embed that into a website?
Yeah, I mean, so that that's just the same as any other kind of embed kind of code. So good question. So there's some kind of JavaScript here that they have. And really, an infographic is nothing but an image. So it's a JPEG, it's a PNG. And so the utility that they're using here, I'm sure within WordPress, there is a plugin for kind of creating these embedded kind of windows that pop up and say, here's how to embed this within your site. And it's, that's a pretty simple function. So you'd want to do that on your WordPress blog to allow people to, you know, share it, which is a great, obviously a great, you know, best practice. Hey, make it shareable, right? So you can see this one, lots of people have shared it. And so, you know, this is not an original idea. So somebody had already thought of this probably, I don't know when they published this, but, 5 days ago. See, we're 5 days behind. But anyway, so, yeah, some good information here. And just as I was saying, you know, how the average length, 30 to 32 seconds. And you know why I think this was really popular as opposed to the, yeah, what was the last one with the guy with the, you know, the guy from South Korea?
Oh, the, I can never say it right.
Oh, Gangnam Style.
Yeah, Gangnam Style.
This video was really easy to create, right? You had the background music. You had the people. It was very, very simple to make that video, you know, your version of it. And a lot of fun, easier than the Gangnam Style, you know, everyone trying to remember the dance and the whole synchronize the thing and all that. Anyway, so, and it's short, but that's kind of off topic. Anyway, so, that's kind of my approach to these things. And, you know, of course, we're starting to add these to our content mix for our clients. And I think they're a lot of fun to create, and I don't think they're going anywhere, you know. So, you know, along with video, you know, blogging, and then you know, infographics, I think it's a good blend, good balance in your content mix.
Very good. Well, that's a lot of information. I was trying to make notes of the your steps so I could put them in the. The Storify, so we might have to come back to you. But,
well, I have a blog post, like I said, I'll give you a link from it.
Yeah.
I have a blog post, and it'll feature this particular stress one here, and kind of give some more detail. But so I think it's a good. I think the hardest part for the average, I think, person is going to be. Actually putting it all together in one of these graphics programs. You know, but if you can do it in one of the free tools, you know, that's great. Or one of the tools that you pay for, if they have, you know, the images that you need, then, you know, go for it. But I really think that the first step in developing, you know, the purpose of it, what are your objectives, search together, that's really going to be, you know, and maybe you could go back in your blog and look at your past blog articles or your blog posts and say, hey, you know, can I revisit any of these that might have data points in them and create an infographic and kind of repurpose my content, create an infographic based on something that I already did that was popular, that resonated with people, that I had a lot of comments on. You know, could I do something like that?
That's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that. It's going back and recycling your information and making an infographic where you can then post it on Pinterest, because when we all started blogging a couple of years ago, Pinterest wasn't around. So, okay, I see you could go crazy with some of your blog posts and make infographics and then put it on Pinterest.
It's all about the repurposing.
Yeah. Yeah, and what is there, recycling, repurposing, bringing them back. Well, Dana and others, I think, and I've blocked my chat, so I'm assuming everybody's still in the chat, but I'm looking at the clock, so if you don't go away, why don't you go ahead and tell everybody what your new website is and how we can reach you now that you're at Buzzadelic.
Right, so just bugsabelic.com. You can check that out. Of course, still on Twitter at BJ_Emerson is probably my most active channel. We're on Facebook, of course. But yeah, check out the articles that I've been writing on bugsabelic.com, kind of for the latest, what I've been up to. So glad to connect. And if anyone needs help with the infographics, let me know. So
cool.
Thanks for having me back on the show.
Yeah. Okay. Well, hold on. I can't see if everybody's still in the chat, but let's see if we can play. We still got the song. All right. So cool. I know Lori can see the chat. I can't see it. So, if you post the links in the chat, everybody else will be able to see it, but me.
Okay.
But I'm ready. I'm ready.
Okay. So, y'all might have heard that Google Reader is going bye-bye. So, in the event that there's no longer going to be Google Reader, people are trying to figure out how they are going to read the blogs and their RSS feed. So I actually have two for you that will solve that problem. The first one I think is really neat because it comes preloaded with some suggestions, and it's also like social media tech-related, but you can swap them out and you can add your own RSS feed. And it's super simple. It's called skimmer.co. It's skimmer.co. I'll put that in the chat. So you'll see right away that it comes loaded with
Oh, yeah.
Or so of them. And then you can sign in, and you can delete the ones that are on there, or you can add your own RSS feeds. And there's no frills. You just click on the name of one of the news channels, and it shows you the most recent blog posts and a little excerpt, and you can click to read on one and decide whether or not you want to read it.
Cool.
Yeah. Simple and short, but very effective, in my humble opinion.
Yes, and I did see on Twitter everybody screaming about Google Reader, so you will be a star.
Yes.
A hero.
So everybody should add to geekygirls.com/feed to yours. All right, so that's Skimmer. The second one that you can use to do RSS feeds for blogs, and actually you don't even have to actually know what the RSS feed is. You can just put in the URL for the blog. It's called Bloglovin, and it's bloglovin.com. And it starts you off with asking if you want to subscribe to some of the blogs that it's pre-picked for you. But then you create an account, and you can put your own blog on there. And it'll give you a follow this blog on Bloglovin button that you can put on it. But you can also just use it as a feed reader, even if you don't have your own blog. So you can put any blog in there that you want, and then you can decide how often you want to get a notification. Do you want to get a once daily email? Do you want to get an email every time one of your blogs that you're following is updated? And it also has an extension for Chrome. So if there's a new blog post to one of the blogs that you're following, a little notification will pop up in your Chrome toolbar. So
Ooh.
You can also follow two geeky girls on Bloglovin.
Oh my god.
So
of course
you will find we are everywhere. So that's that. All right, so our app of the week, which I think is super cool even though I don't have children, but for anybody that has children or grandchildren, it's called Archive App. It's ARTKIVE App. So I put this in the chat. And it's a pretty simple premise. I haven't used it, obviously, because I haven't had a need. And it appears to only be for iPhones at the moment. or Apple products. But you take a picture of your kid's artwork, and then you can tag it, categorize it, however you see fit, and store it in the app. And then you can create items out of it. So you can make a book out of your children's artwork, and you can put it on all sorts of other products and keepsakes that you can have. So it's a good way to kind of keep it archived so you don't have it, you know, all over the house and keeping it in boxes and things like that.
And you know what? Yeah, mm-hmm. I looked at that, and I think it's genius because I had, when we moved here, I had boxes and boxes of my children's art. And it's like, what am I going to do with those? They don't want it anymore, so we tossed it.
I think the book thing is the coolest.
I do, too.
If I had a book of all of my art growing up, I would think that would be the coolest thing ever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would fight the artist. That would be spectacular. But.
Yeah.
Yeah, but no, I think that's just, I've been trying to tell everybody I know who has kids about this app, because I think I don't even remember how I stumbled upon it, probably on Pinterest, actually, and I just think it's brilliant.
And how are you going to tie this one into two geeky girls?
I'll let you know.
I'm sure there's a way.
Way to put me on the spot, BJ. Gosh.
No, there's going to be a way. Well, absolutely, because you turn it into a book, but you have to pay for the book to have it printed.
Yeah, but it's still really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'm saying for two geeky girls, if you had kind of coupon, you know, to get, you know, one book made, absolutely.
Yeah.
I want that.
Yeah, okay. I'll think about that. I'll write that down. Okay, the next one I have... is called, I think you said this one to me, Trello, Trello.com. And actually, Sarah is going to hate the fact that you sent this to me because I don't know if she's checked her email recently, but I've been using this in the past a little bit. It's sort of a project planner, and you create boards, and your boards have cards on them. And it seems like there's really just a to-do board, a doing board, and then a done board. To help keep you organized with projects. So we now have a two geeky girls site where we can have all of our to-dos and what we're doing and what's done. So it's easy to keep all in one place. But it's a really simple to use site, but it's got a lot of really neat features for the different parts that you can add to the boards with putting links and assigning it to members and some things like that. And it took 2 seconds to start setting up. So pretty cool. And they have it for iPad as well. Let's see. All right, here's one. It's called Simple Wash, but it's Simple, WA.SH. Simple.WA.SH. And the premise of this, and this is probably for anybody who's looking to get a job or you know, kids getting out of college or high school kids looking to get into college with employers and everybody looking at your Facebook and your Twitter, you can hook up your Facebook and hook up your Twitter, and it searches through your status updates, your likes links, the pages that you like, tagged photos, liked photos that you've added, and your wall for Facebook, and it looks through all of your stuff for Twitter, and it looks for words that might be a little shady or that you might want to post that you can go back and take down. So like for fan pages, if it has beer in it, or I liked the book Girl with a Dragon Tattoo, and it highlighted the word murder. So it's picking out words like that. But it's interesting to go through and look at, my status updates. It picked out beer and wine. And
Very good. Okay.
I think that's really important. So it's good.
It is, and the Blog Talk Radio is talking in our ears and telling us that we're going to have to shut it down for the night. So you gave a lot of sites, and I think I see them popping up on TweetDeck, so I can put them in Storify. Thank you. And BJ, thanks for coming back and geeking it out with us.
Yeah, lots of fun.
And thanks, everybody that was in the chat, and we will talk to Blog Talk Radio and see if we can get these issues taken care of, and we'll be back next week. Next week we have the founder of Nine Slides on. So, and then the week after that, we have Annie Fox. We're going to try to bring her back, even though we missed that show. So have a Geeky Week, and Monday, AK, is when Two Geeky Girls starts?
Right. Yep. Everybody okay. will know about it.
All right. We'll be watching. So have a good night, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Thanks.
So show me, so show me.